Welcome back to Finding My Perfect Awkward, and this week I'm with one of two of Miguel and Holly from Hits 96.1. Hi, Holly!
Hello!
Tell me a little bit about your media journey, your radio journey, from how you got to where you are.
So, I started to be interested in radio, in college, because I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I feel like it's very difficult for any 18-year-old to know what they want to do. Some do. I did not. And on the campus of my university, which was Ohio Northern, I'm from Ohio, Cleveland originally, they had a radio station on the campus, and I never thought of it as a career even at this point. I just thought, oh my God, I want to be on the radio, because you could, like, students could host a little shift or whatever. And so I was already sort of heading in the communications path. Because I knew I liked to talk, so that was fine.
Fair.
Then I got involved with the radio station, and then I realized you could actually make that a major. Like, you could major in broadcasting and communications, with like the broadcasting within the communications, you know, overarching thing. so I did, and I got started just doing like a one-off shift on a Thursday, and I immediately loved it. And I feel like with a lot of radio people, it is sort of an instant, you just love it. And I don't know that there'd be so many people still struggling and like grasping to be in this business if you didn't simply love it at a deep level. Yeah. And that's just part of like who you are almost. And so I went through college and honed the major to broadcasting. I tried TV also, by the way. And it was too much for me. It was too much work. It was like lugging the camera, doing all these things. I was like, I'm not down with that. And it wasn't as fun. Like, you had to be so serious, and you could not insert your own opinions, and you just had to be this talking head almost. And I thought, this is really not for me. I like being able to have fun and joke around and laugh and throw opinions out. So that's why it was really radio and not TV for me that did it. And again, I was very lucky. I made a lot of great relationships and internships, which, by the way, they really don't do in radio anymore, which is such an unfortunate death in the business, because that's how we found so many talent. And that's for years how I used to suggest to people that were interested in getting into radio is doing internships. Yep. I had several internships at different places, and that's where I met a couple of really great contacts. And when I was coming up for graduation, they actually reached out to me because I had done so well in my internship. And I went in and interviewed because they had a midday opening on their country station. And I didn't know a thing about country, nothing. But they're like, oh, you'll learn. And I was like, absolutely. I'll learn whatever you want me to learn, as long as it's on the radio. And they also had tied with that midday position on that radio station. And it was very, very small, I might add. Like, we're in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. It was like an unrated market. They're like, also, you have to be the promotions director. And I was like, okay, don't know a thing about that either. And so I just walked into this job after having interviewed and just interned with them. And that was my job for the next 4 years. And I learned a ton. And then from there, I decided, you know, I really want to do mornings because, A, apparently you get paid a lot more to do mornings than you do midday. Mm-hmm. And also I wanted to explore more of being the personality and not just sort of a jock in between. So I sent stuff everywhere, and I got picked up in Panama City, Florida. And that was for a show called That Guy Kramer. And he and I were like building the show together. And that's where I met Miguel, because Kramer and Miguel had known each other in college. And so Miguel got brought in. Miguel and I moved in together. and we had a great time. I mean, it was like, you know, rough, because we were like just early 20s, not knowing anything about radio, really, not how to do a morning show, really. Right. And we just threw everything at the wall. We were as dramatic as could possibly be. I mean, this was like mid 2000s. So everything was on the table at that point. You could do anything basically still. And we were just super dramatic, I guess I would say, just trying to get the attention of people. And we did really well in Panama City, Florida, which was like market 240, I think. We were there for about 4 years too. We got an opportunity to move to Tampa because we had caught some attention with what we were doing. We did move to Tampa. We were there for 1 year because that station that had hired us flipped to sports, and we were like, oh. And so we were just really devastated. And things had not been the best within the confines of that show either. Again, it's like a marriage. And if you're not jiving with everybody, it can be very tense and very difficult. So we all ended up going our separate ways. And I'm still, you know, close with Kramer because Kramer does his own show now too in Baltimore. So we just, we were young and didn't, it was just a big old mess. And so we went separate ways. That's when I ended up getting pregnant with my daughter. And Miguel, I didn't think I wanted to do radio anymore. I wasn't sure what to do. Miguel ended up getting a call back in Panama City to go back there to start his own show instead of being third mic. And he was a little bit nervous about that because you're going from Tampa, which was like market 18, back to Panama City, which is like market 230, 240. And he's like, I don't know, but I do need to learn if I want to do this. So he went back. I was sort of just on my own, unemployed life. And ultimately, he reached back out a few months later and was like, they said I can, and I'd love to bring you back. So I went back to join him in Panama City. And we did the Miguel show. We kind of like built that up. We had a third member at the time. And we built that up and did that for a couple of years until there was another opening back in Tampa. And
wow.
I know. It's a lot of
pinball.
Within Florida, yes. And it was at a station that we both really had admired because it was technically the station that really kind of put us out of a job in the first place in Tampa. And they reached out to us and we had a great few meetings and we ultimately did end up going back to Tampa and we stayed there. It was Hot 101.5. We stayed there for like 7 years and just built that show, the two of us, with different producers coming in over the years that some we really bonded with and were able to get great radio out of. And it was amazing. And then 2 years ago, we got an amazing situation presented to us from iHeart, and it was to do mornings in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it interestingly, it's a funny story because in Charlotte, when we were first looking to move to Tampa for the first time, another option we had was Charlotte. And for whatever reason, I don't remember, they basically gave us an option. They're like, do you want Charlotte or Tampa? And we chose Tampa at the time. So here we are now getting an offer again in Charlotte. And we decided ultimately this was the best move for both our careers and our families. And we were able to make that move to Charlotte. So we did. And it was really heartbreaking to leave Tampa because we had formed this family. You know, we really do consider our listeners part of this family. And a lot of people say, oh, it's our family, it's our fam. But like, I feel like we started using that word before it became popular. And I'm not really sure which other word to switch to now that it's very, you know, trendy to say that we're a family as a listener. But it really feels that way. I mean, we laugh with them and we cry and we grow and we, you know, go through things with these people that choose us, which is probably the best part of radio, I think, is that you are all sort of in this together. You as the personality and the people that you're speaking to, we call them our fam, but these listeners who trust you to guide them through their morning or whenever, and they really become a part of who you are, and you share so much of yourself that they know who you are. I mean, I went through my divorce. I went through like just some very hard, difficult personal things. Miguel went through his entire engagement and marriage situation. Originally, I went through having a child, all of it shared with these people who continue to still come to us. Even though we're not in Tampa, we still have a ton of people in Tampa that love, you know, that still stick by us, especially on social media, and just will give us a shout. And we're starting now, 2 years in, to form that situation in Charlotte where it's like building trust. You know, you can trust that I got your back. We're not going to like make fun of you behind your back. Like if anything, we're going to poke fun at you to your front and we're all going to have a laugh about it together. And so that's been the journey. So we've been in Charlotte for coming up on 2 years now, which has been incredible.
Wow. It's a long journey again to be with the same person for so long.
It really is. And I do not take it for granted ever. it's funny because I joke, but like I don't even know what I would do if we weren't together anymore. Like, I wouldn't want to just be plugged into another show because we know each other so well after all these years. Like, he knows what's off limits for me. Same for me with him, where mm-hmm. he can push a little bit. And on the air, the delivery, we know exactly where each other is going to go. Not in a boring routine way, but like in a comfortable, we can take risks in calculated places because we know what the other person is going to do or say or how they might react. And it yeah. really brings this sense of both freedom and calm to the show.
Are you guys all in the same studio together or?
Okay. So here's the little, I guess it's supposed to be sort of like, we downplay this, but I've never been comfortable with like keeping this a secret. I don't think it's a secret. It's just not like we don't necessarily publicize it, but I'm actually not in the studio at all. I'm not even in the city at all because I actually stayed in Tampa Bay when the move happened and Miguel actually moved to Charlotte.
So and you're in Florida?
I'm in Florida. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Surprise. But it's, like I said, it's not something that we publicize, but for me, it's not something that I like lie about in a way that I'm like,
you would never tell. Like you would never be able to tell.
Most people do not have any idea. My mom, who passed away about a year ago, was very unwell. I mean, just in a horrific state of dementia, and I was the sole caregiver. And so she was in and out of hospitals and nursing homes. And at that time, which, by the way, I look back at that time in my life and I'm like, good God, there was a lot going on. We had a job change. We were like looking at this. There were things were contentious. It was like my mom was sick. My kid. We dealt with a lot. But because of my daughter and at the time my mom and I was her only caregiver and I was very wrapped up in all that, I was like, I can't just pick all these people up and move. And iHeart was so gracious. And they're like, we get it. Family first. Let's make it work. I also, like I said, I split my time. So I'm also in Charlotte frequently. I'm just not home based, like living in Charlotte. And I'm just so thankful that they allowed me to do that. So when you say it looks like we're in a little bit of a different setup, we are, because I really am in my own little studio. Miguel's in his big studio and our producer Kelvin is in another little studio over there in Charlotte.
What do you do to keep your peace?
For me, honestly, radio and being in that studio is sort of therapeutic for me. Being able to share is a form of peace, I think, for me. Okay. When I was going through all the stuff with my mom, and I mean, I'm a crier anyway, so I'm emotional. But I would, because we do a podcast 3 times a week, and mm-hmm. so I would just get into it sometimes on the podcast and I'm crying or like, and I'm sharing also great things that happen. And it's such a safe environment because Miguel and I have that friendship base of knowing each other so well. And we are in a lot of ways very similar. We do have big differences in some great areas, but we are so similar in the fact of like, you know, this is our life first and foremost. So we need to protect each other and our own feelings as much as we can, but also sharing them is cathartic because it helps process them a little bit. And I think it helps people feel less alone on the listener's end. Cause I don't want to say that and think, oh, well, this is just me selfishly trauma dumping on unsuspecting people.
Yeah. No, you're relatable.
Yes. It makes you relatable. Yeah. And a note on that, I think, too, is I have gone through some stuff, over the past 5 years or so that I haven't shared on air. And I haven't been able to share on air for various reasons. A, there's other people involved who do not give consent to necessarily have their story shared on a radio station. Mm-hmm. So that's where it becomes a little tricky when you're dealing with other people and maybe their stuff impacts you, but you can't really talk about it, but you're still feeling emotions. So in order to keep the peace on that front, I do have a therapist and I am in therapy and I talk things out there. I have a very, very supportive partner. My fiance is just amazing. And so we share stuff that I'm not able to take to the air. And I had a little bit of a problem when I first came into this situation, because I did used to just share everything all the time. It's carte blanche to just, if you got to cry, just cry it out. Well, let's talk about it. Did your grandmother just die? Oh, let's get you on air the next day and let's talk about it. That's not the best path either. And I had a consultant who was not our consultant at the time, but her name's Angela Pirelli and she's amazing. She works with a lot of different radio shows. And I was asking her, how do I share this? I don't even know how I'm feeling about it yet. And she said, well, let me give you some advice. Share the scar, not the wound. And I have kept that with me. It is like probably one of the best pieces of radio advice, because when you're sharing the wound, you are literally just bleeding on people and you don't know how long you're going to be bleeding for. And you don't even know how you're feeling about it yet. You haven't processed it. And it can become some trauma dumping on people that actually are just there. They want to support you. If they've gotten to know you, they like you and they sometimes love you. But they're also not there to be your therapist. They're not there to necessarily be the ones building you back up in a moment. They're just trying to get to work, or they're just trying to get their kids out the door, or they're turning to you because they're having an absolutely terrible day. And, they're looking for a little comfort. They're not necessarily, their job isn't necessarily to comfort you. So she's like, don't share the wound, share the scar, because then you're keeping the private part of your life private. Now there's personal stuff. We can get to that in a minute, but like you keep the private part of your life private for you, for your family, for whoever, and not create this mess on the air where it's a little bit like it might be too much and people might want to turn it off.
Well, yeah, like the scar has already happened. So you're sharing your experience and you're sharing the parts of it that you healed from.
And your lessons,
essentially,
lessons mm-hmm. that you can help people with. So that's the comment from her, that advice I take with me all the time, where I'm like, okay, you know, am I mentally bleeding right now? And like on our podcast, it's a little bit different. I can get a little more raw, but especially on broadcast airwaves, I'm mindful to share the personal, not the private necessarily, but not share that wound while it's fresh. Wait until you've processed and then share those lessons. You can talk about your heartbreak or heartache or hard times without sinking totally into like hysterics, and also potentially bring a lesson. So I love that way of thinking about it, in a way of keeping your own peace and keeping yourself safe a little bit. We're on, right? As radio personalities, mm-hmm. we're never not on when there's a microphone in front of our face. Like you do have to bring a certain something to it, but you want to be the most accurate version of yourself as you can, whatever that looks like for you. And it doesn't mean necessarily sharing every single little detail, but it does mean sharing, I'm going through a little grief today. And so bear with me, but we're going to get through it together or whatever, because someone else is too. And so that's where those connections are made. And I say that about like social media influencers or whatever, but it used to be like, even in the last year, I'm seeing less of the like, hey guys, come with me while I do, like, and it's just very flat. Like my daughter watches some stuff like that. And maybe that's fine for like younger people or whatever, but I'm just like, scroll, because it's not
that. Well, and the majority of people want to feel like they're best friends with who they're watching, who they're listening to, like, oh, yes, I'm this person's friend. Also too, eventually you're going to meet somebody in person, and if you meet that person and they're nothing like you've been listening to or been watching, you're gonna get disappointed. You're gonna be like, oh, they're not anything like I imagined.
Yeah. Oh, and that's such a huge disappointment. Yeah. And And people are craving connection, connection, because we are so separate now. I mean, you would think that obviously, and studies have been done about this, I'm sure, but like with all of the technology and all of the communication that we have right in our hand, that we'd be more connected, but we just feel further and further apart than ever. And so I think people are just genuinely craving real human emotion, real human connection.
Hearing that you have somebody there with you and knowing that you have somebody on the radio, somebody that you're listening to, watching, whatever, that is, you're linking arms with them. You're like, all right, we're good. We're feeling similar things with different situations. I feel okay.
Yes. Yes. I think you hit the nail on the head. That's so exactly right. People just don't want to be alone. Like they are with their phone most of the time. When you're seeing it, you're like, oh my God, I know Miguel and Holly. We're not alone. Mm-hmm. We got it. So that's probably the reason, like the real root of what keeps most people in this career, I would think, just to be able to form that bond or to me anyway, it's like when listeners tell you that they feel that way, because they telegraph it in different ways, it's like, oh man, I helped someone today. I helped someone not feel as alone, or I helped someone maybe through their breakup or their grief or their great day. Like we encourage people to call us, obviously. We celebrate with them if they're having a good day, whatever. So it's just helping you not feel alone.
You forget that there are thousands, millions outside the studio listening to you all at the same time, 50 different ways. You forget. And then all of a sudden somebody comes up to you and is like, oh my God, do you remember when you said such and such? And you're like,
no. That is the part that really trips me up the most though, because we do so much stuff. We're pumping out so much content on a daily basis that for some reason, and I haven't figured this out. I'm about to go to a doctor about this. I have the worst memory. I'm like, do I have an issue? Like, am I having memory issues? But I'm just like, some of the stuff to me, it's like, it was an amazing time in that moment. And then I have to like, let it go into some receptacle in my brain that I don't need that anymore. Unlike how I need all the words to like some song from 20 years ago. I don't know how memory works, but like, I can't remember a lot of stuff that we've done on the radio, like a lot of our bits or whatever. And because Miguel will be like, oh my God, remember that time we made you shove your face in a fruitcake? And I was like,
no.
You did? I did that? He's like, God, why don't you remember this? And I'm like, again, I may see a doctor. I'm not sure. But like, I don't remember. I'm like, because obviously I have a lot going on. I got to remember stuff. I got to know which day of the week it is and where I'm picking my daughter up from to take her to what practice and like just all the things. And so I'm like, if a listener comes up and they're like, do you remember that one time when that girl said blah and you were like blah and they're cracking up and I'm like, I want to share this moment with you, but I can't.
Where can people find you on socials?
So it's Radio Holly. On Instagram, it's Radio Holly on everything, to be fair. everywhere. I'm glad that I got that username like locked in across the board. So it's Radio Holly. Mostly I'm active on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Twitter X. I'm very rarely on Facebook, although I know I need to do a better job just because people are there. Not my favorite platform, but everywhere you can look for Radio Holly. And then if you want to look for the show, you look for Miguel and Holly, and that's on all the socials and a lot of different places also. So definitely check us out on social and check out our podcast too, which is Miguel and Holly Uncensored.